open your Bibles here this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 24, verse 45. And the title of my message here is Being a Faithful Servant of Christ. Being a Faithful Servant of Christ. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them food or meat in due season? Let us pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I pray I be a vessel that brings glory and honor to you and to your word and to your Son. Thank you for the Spirit of the living God that you've given to us to help us, the Paraclete, to walk beside us, to be our teacher. And I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of the living God will move in and among us, do its perfect work in each heart. So bless your word. And Father, I pray that we would increase in our love and devotion and our faith and our good works toward your holy name. So Lord, bless it to each heart. May each need be met as only can come from you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You ever been caught unawares or surprised? Has an event ever surprised you? Well, years ago, Dwight David Eisenhower. Does anybody know how he became to have the name our president back in the 60s, Dwight? Does anybody know why he was named Dwight? He was named after Dwight L. Moody. That's what his mother named. He says, I want to name my son after Dwight L. Moody. And that's what she did. She named Dwight L. Eisenhower after Dwight L. Moody. And, well, he was, as being president of the United States, he visited his family in Denver over a weekend, and his wife was from that area, and they went to a Presbyterian church on Sunday morning. And during this course of time, they became aware there was a boy in the community that was dying of cancer. And President Eisenhower said to his wife, you know, we ought to go visit that little boy and just tell him we're praying for him. So they got in their limousine right after Sunday service, drove down a number of streets, pulled up in front of the house where this boy lived at. And he went to the door, and the father's name was Paul Haley Sr. And Paul Haley Sr. Came to the door after President Eisenhower rang the doorbell. He opened the door, and there was the President of the United States at his front door. He hadn't shaved that morning. He hadn't brushed his hair that morning. He had on an old T-shirt and faded blue jeans. And he's standing there in front of the President of the United States. And the President of the United States says, sir, your young son, I've come to understand, is dying of cancer. And I just wanted to come pray for him and just to have a short visit with him. Would that be okay? And dumbfounded, he said, sure. And so they came in and they made their visit. And President Eisenhower actually took the little boy out to his limousine and let him sit in the limousine and just pretend he was driving it just to spend some time with him. And then the visit was over. Well, by that time, the neighbors had gathered around because when the president pulls up and the cars and the Secret Service and everybody, they were like, what's going on? So a big crowd had gathered. And they were all talking about this visit that had happened. And they asked the dad, Paul Haley Sr. said, what did you think about the president coming? And he goes, all I could think about the whole time was I wasn't shaved, my hair wasn't brushed, I was in an old T-shirt and blue jeans. He goes, I was so unprepared. Now, we laugh at that. But guess what? One day there's somebody coming back that is much greater than the President of the United States. And what you don't want to be is when he comes back to be caught unawares and surprised. You know, this passage we have here before us this morning, who then is that faithful and wise servant? You know, the Lord describes his people as faithful and wise. Two descriptive terms there of those that know him, love him, and are looking for him. But do you see in that statement, there's a question built into that. Who then is? That's a question. Who then is? You know, that's a challenge for us because Jesus is coming back one day. And then who is that faithful and wise servant. Because if we're caught unawares, because as you look at this passage here, he's wondering, are there going to be any faithful? Are there going to be any wise servants? Because you get down a little further in verse 48, but and if that evil servant, well, there's two kinds of servants. You can be that faithful and wise one, or you can be that evil servant. Now, in this passage here, what you don't want to do is miss how important it is to understand the reality of what it means when he comes back. Because if you don't understand the importance of it, it's not going to mean much to you. If you get down to the very last verse there, in verse 51, for that evil person, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is that verse referring to? Somebody who dies and goes where? To hell. Now, that is serious. That is serious. And did you catch that one phrase there in 51? His portion with the what? Hypocrites. You mean there can be pretenders? There can be people who put on a mask, and behind the mask there's somebody else, but you look at the front of the mask, and it's a smiling face, and it's a clown, but you pull that mask away, and you see the ugly sinfulness of who they really are. And you know, a lot of people, they wear a mask. They say, I'm one of God's people. I'm a faithful and wise servant. And God says, really? Because the thing about you and me, we can be hypocrites sometimes and put on a good act. We can put on a good act. We can be a pretender. We can be one that hides it from others. We can know the Christian lingo. There's people, they know the Christian lingo. You talk to them, they got it down. Oh man, you talking about God, they can bring all that doctrine and theology out. But when it gets down to the final analysis, when Jesus comes back, in your heart of hearts, if you're a hypocrite, God's going to cut you asunder and appoint your portion where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's serious. That is serious. For that's forever and ever and ever. Jesus makes some pretty startling claims. Like, he says, either you're with me or you're what? Against me. There's no middle ground. Jesus doesn't say you can be half with me, or, you know, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, you can be with me, but Thursday and Friday, Saturday, you can do your own thing. I don't care what you do. No, it doesn't work like that. He says, either you're with me or you're against me. Is that pretty strong talk? I think it is. Does that separate the sheep from the goats? I think it does. Does that draw a line right down the middle between those that are his and those that are not? I think it does. Who then is that faithful and wise servant? Well, let's just look at that word faithful for a minute. What are we faithful to? If you're faithful, what are you faithful to? Is it a set of beliefs? Are you faithful to a creed? Are you faithful to your upbringing? I always went to church, and I just go to church. What are you really faithful to? Because that really is huge. Because some people can just be faithful just because their parents were whatever. You know what you're faithful to? To God himself, a relationship with him and him alone. You're faithful to God. And what is the expression of God? It's the Bible. The Word was made what? Flesh and dwelt among us. You cannot separate the Word of God from the God of the Word. They're inseparable. If you know the Word and you live by the Word, you know God. If you don't live by the Word, you don't know God. He cuts that knife, phew, right down the line. to be caught unawares, to be unprepared. What if Jesus was to come back? What if he was to come back this very hour? And what if there was a court session held? And what if during that court session, you had to bring the evidence that you are a true believer? Now, I must say this. You're saved by faith through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins. You believe that he was buried and he rose again from the dead. You can be saved. But just because you know that in your mind doesn't necessarily mean that you're saved if it isn't in your heart that you've surrendered your will to God. The devil knows all those facts. He knows every one of them. He's not saved. There are some people that are deceived saying, I believe these things. Well, I'm glad you believe them. But if your life does not live up to what you believe, then what you're doing is you have a deceived heart. Because what you believe is going to be transformed into how you live. That's the way it works. Because what a man truly believes, he's going to act upon. Who then is that faithful? Faithful to God, faithful to his word, faithful to what he says. And wise servant. You're wise because you consider the alternatives. Now, a person is wise, they're looking here, and they say, well, if I do this, this is going to happen. If I do this, this is going to happen. Fools make a mock of sin. And people that mock sin are foolish in God's sight. How does God feel about sin? You know how much God hates sin? He sent his own son to die for that sin. That's how much he hates it. That's how much he hates it. And if we trifle with sin, and we make light of sin, and we embrace sin, and we go with those that are in sinful states, and we pat them on the back and say, you're okay, and it doesn't bother us, we don't have any aversion to it, it doesn't repulse us, it doesn't make us feel bad, then you're not being wise. Because you don't see the truth of what God is saying here. There's two kinds of people. Those that know God, don't know God. Who then is that faithful and wise servant? Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them food or meat in due season. In other words, God has given you something to do. In his household, if you're part of his household, he's given you something to do. Everybody has a gift and ability. If you're a saved saint of God, God's given you something to do. And God is wondering, are you doing that? Are you serving God? You're a servant? That'd be a strange servant to say, I'm a servant of God, and you're not doing anything for God. Wouldn't that be kind of strange? I think so. And God said, who is that faithful and wise servant that's doing what I told them to do? He says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Where were you yesterday? Where were you the day before? Where were you the day before that? Where were you the day before that? What if the Lord had come back right then and found you at a place where you would have been ashamed at his coming? Would that have made you feel unprepared and unawares? You know, God says to us as his people, you got to consider this. Blessed is that servant. You're wise if you consider that the Lord's coming back and find so doing, that you wouldn't be ashamed at his coming. Now, how do you know if somebody's saved? How do you know if they're really saved? If you love me, you keep my what? Commandments. Is that pretty cut and dry? I don't think there's any fuzziness to that. If you love God, you're going to obey him. It's not that complicated. So if you turn that phrase around, if you don't keep his commandments, then you don't love him. You don't know him. You're not part of his kingdom and his program, no matter what you say. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Well, we have that question in verse 45. Who then is that faithful and wise servant? He just puts that out there. Now, we can have good days and we can have bad days. God knows that. But the overall tenor and passion and direction and the way our life is leaning and the way we're headed is a signifying factor if we really know God. If God was to come back and there was a court session held and you were to have to call up the evidence of you being a true Christian, what evidence would you bring forth to show that you are a true Christian? Would there be enough evidence to show that you're a true Christian so that God would say, you're right? Or would there be a lack of evidence or confusing evidence that clouded your testimony and clouded the witness and nobody can make a firm decision? Well, I'll tell you where I want to be. I want to be where there's enough evidence that people know where I stand and know what I believe, and I live for God, and there's no fuzziness about my testimony, who I love, and what I stand for, and the truth I embrace, and what I believe, that's out there. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you're not going to be what? Ashamed of me. And when he died on the cross, he wasn't ashamed to die for me. Do you think he was humiliated? He was hugely humiliated. But he did that publicly. And a true Christian is not going to be ashamed. You may struggle, got it. I mean, Peter was fearful. God understands. You can have fear, but your love for God overcomes your fear. And there's some point in your life where you stand up and you be counted, even if the whole world is going against you, you stand up and say, I know God, and I'm not ashamed of him. And you take your stand for Christ. You know what a hypocrite does? They come to church on Sunday, and then they go out with unbelievers, and they act just like them. Nobody would know they're a Christian. Nobody would know that they know God. Nobody would know that they are saved. Is that the kind of believer we want to be? I don't think so. God said, who is that faithful and wise servant? You know, you say, Pastor, this world's going crazy and everybody's doing it. You know what I say to you? I don't care how many people are doing it. I'd rather be the one standing alone with God than perishing with the whole world, dying and going to hell and living in their immorality and their ungodliness. I want to stand alone if I have to with God than to perish with the unbelievers. And we have to get that point in our life where we don't care what people think because God saved me and I love God and I know his word is true and I want to be strong in the grace of God. Is this world getting more wicked? Absolutely. You know, there's reward in verse 47. Verily or truly I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. You know, one day, for every sacrifice, every cup of cold water you gave in the name of the disciple, every act of kindness, every Sunday school lesson you taught, everything you did for God, every tract you gave out, every prayer you prayed, every tithe you gave to God, everything, one day God's going to say, yep, I saw that, I saw that, I saw that, I saw that, I saw your faithfulness, I saw your goodness, I saw your sacrifice, I saw it, and I'm honoring you. Because there's reward waiting for those that honor God. And God says, I got it. I see it. And God's going to give you a full reward one day for everything you've done. You know, if I tried to think back and think about every prayer I prayed, I couldn't remember that. If I had to think about every dollar I gave to here and there to help people, I couldn't remember that. And you can't remember all the things you've done for God. But guess what? When you stand before God, he's got it. Every last thing that you've done for him, he's got it. And he's going to reward you one day. He's going to honor you one day for your sacrificial love and devotion that you gave to the cause of Christ. But verse 48, he turns it. But, and if, it doesn't have to be, but that person in their heart makes a choice. Verse 45, Somebody's making a choice to be faithful and wise. Verse 48, somebody's making a choice. But and if, you know, God's not making the sinful man sin. The sinful man sins because he's a sinner. A dog doesn't bark because he is a dog. A dog barks because he is a dog. And I just messed that all up. Forgive me. You ever get your jumble all worded up? I do that sometimes. Anyway, I won't even try to straighten out that mess. Anyway, a dog barks because he's a dog. I think you got it. But verse 48, but and if people go down the wrong road because they have an evil heart, they don't have a heart that seeks after God. You know, it's that persistent pattern of evilness. Why do people sin? How bad is it? But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite, beat up, hit, strike, injure, cause pain to his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, those that are intoxicated, out of their minds. Yeah, that's a pathway they chose. If you turn over in this chapter here, just a few verses back, Matthew 24, just turn to verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus coming back again. The days of Noah, what was Noah's days like? What was Noah's days like? We'll turn to Genesis 6 here just for a moment for what was Noah's days like? Genesis chapter 6 here. And Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, Genesis 6, 5. You know, you're not getting very far through the Bible before you hit this chapter 6. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And the Lord saw, and the Creator saw, and the Judge of all the earth saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, what? Continually. Now God is holy. Isaiah said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And God looked down upon the earth, and every thought, I mean, we're not talking action. You ever met the dirty old man? You know what I'm talking about, the guy that just is filthy in his talk and his jokes, and everything has a twist on it, and he just makes anything filthy. That's their minds. They thought that way day and night. That's how they live. They function. And the actions they carried out. Look at verse 13. The end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. No care, no love for people. That's bad. You ever listen to the news? Is it ever depressing? It's more than you can bear. Because every time it's somebody killing, some tragedy, it's never ending. I just go on and on. Just, you know what I mean. The days of Noah, I feel like we're there. I feel like we're there. Because it's everywhere. And you know, for us as believers, who is that faithful and wise servant that we stand against the culture? You know, our government just a year or so back legalized same-sex marriage. That is so wrong. That's an abomination to God. God doesn't change. God isn't going to say, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? It's not happening. It's an abomination, God says. And when we as Christians take a stand for righteousness in our land, in our country, our nation, our people, even in our churches, I don't get it how a so-called minister of the gospel can marry a gay couple. I don't get it. You might as well just burn the Bible and throw it away, because it doesn't mean anything to you if you do that as a minister of the gospel. It doesn't mean anything. And I think as God's people here, we can get desensitized, and we're not being faithful, and we're not being wise. We're just going with the culture. Pastor, it's hard to take a stand at my workplace. I got it. But if you don't, then who will? And if you don't draw a line, who will stand for righteousness? What does it say in verse 8 of chapter 6 of Genesis? But what? Noah. What kind of world did Noah live in? Very ungodly, wicked, continually evil thoughts, violent world. And yet he let his light shine. And he stood against the culture and said, this culture isn't going to overcome me. I'm going to stand my ground and be a man of God. That's what Noah was. What is God's description of Noah? Look at verse 9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah what? Walked with God. He could do that. If he could do it, why can't we do it? If Noah could be a just man, in other words, he had his ethics, he had his morals, he had his way of life that he got from God, and he was living for God. God, you said it, I'm going to do this thing, I got it. He was a just man, a blameless man. Perfect in his generation, he was blameless. His generation was wicked, but Noah said, I'm not going that way. I'm going to be that faithful and wise servant that chooses a good and right way. And Noah what? Walked with God. If you want to see your spiritual life go downhill, you just stop walking with God. I've said this before, and it just has resonated with me over the years. A testimony of this lady I heard, that she was saved, knew God, but she stopped having devotion, she started listening to the wrong music, she started hanging out with the wrong people, and her life just went downhill till she committed adultery. And I just think about her testimony. She all started back when she said, I stopped having my devotions. She stopped walking with God. You need to take that seriously. That's being faithful. That's being a wise person, knowing if I get away from the Word of God, my sinful nature may take me down. But Noah, he was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Well, back over here in Matthew, that was the days of Noah. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They were unaware and unprepared. They didn't know it was coming. They didn't know it was coming. They were unaware and unprepared. You know, that's what we find here in Matthew 24, verse 51. The Lord of that servant came in a day when he looketh what? Not for him. And when the Lord Jesus come back, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. When he comes back. In an hour that he's not aware of, unawares. You know, you want to be prepared and you want to live a life that honors God. I'll close with this illustration. Nancy and I were over at Avinash and Betsy's house earlier this week for a meal. Avinash is from India, and India and Kerala, where they're from, the state of Kerala, they had some floods there. He was showing me some videos of the flooding that took place in the state of India he was from. 400 people perished in the flooding there. It was so severe, the flooding. See, they have, in India where he's from, they have the dry season and they have the rainy season, the monsoon time. They're used to that. The waters come up so high and they don't come up any higher than they go down. People live this way for years. Rainy season, the water comes up, it floods. We got it. We're under control. The government said to the people, this looks severe. You need to get out of these low-lying areas. Take evacuation. They were saying that it's going to rain heavily for weeks, possibly. Avinash told me it rained 24 hours a day for 2 weeks straight in that area. Never stopped. 24 hours, it never stopped raining. People were in their homes. They went to bed at night, and during the night, the waters came up higher than they've ever come in that area before. They were trapped in their homes. Their homes were surrounded by water. What made this so unique when Avinash was sharing, they actually had videos of people, because of their cell phones, they were filming themselves crying out for help. Come help me. I'm going to perish. I don't know what to do. I can't escape. Can somebody please help? And they had videos of these people crying out for help as their house was being flooded and washed away. And I thought, wow, how sobering. But the thing is, they were warned. The government said, get out of these low-lying areas. This is going to be terrible. And Avinash said, you know why they didn't leave? Because he said they had always been through every other year the monsoons came, they'd always been safe. And they just assumed this would be another year. And they never took it serious. And I was watching, he was showing me these videos of people crying for help, but there was no deliverance. And they were washed away. You know, when he says he's coming back again, who is that? Faithful and wise servant? You prepare yourself and you get yourself right with God during this time that you have opportunity. Well, let's pray here as we close our eyes and bow our heads. In the quietness of this moment, if God had come back yesterday, would you have been safe and secure in your testimony with God? If he had come back today, this evening, or a week ago, or a week from now, would it have made any difference to you when he came back? Are you that faithful and wise servant? Or are you one of the hypocrites? Because God knows whether you're with him or you're against him. Lord, in this quietness, this moment, may we search our hearts, God. Lord, hell is real. Heaven's forever. Lord, you've prepared a place for us that know and love you. Lord, we that have this hope in us, purify ourselves, even as he is pure. Lord, you say that in 1 John chapter 5, God. Father, in the quietness of this moment, maybe we're not doing what we should be doing with our gifts and abilities. We're a servant, we know God, but the days and weeks go by and we do nothing to help the local church, nothing to help God's kingdom, nothing to shed the light and truth of your Savior around the world and even in our own neighborhood or even in our own workplace. Father, may that not be named of any of us. God, if we really are that faithful and wise servant, may we be doing those things, and may you find us doing these things when we come in your presence, when you come back again, God. Lord, help us toward that end. Lord, don't let us waste our life. God, may we have a life that's lived for you and honors you. Life is so short, Father. God, may we finish our days under the grace and love of God, fulfilling your good and perfect and acceptable will for each of us. So, Father, in the quietness of this moment, I just commit each of us into your hands, Lord. And Father, there may be some here this morning that are standing in need of prayer. And Father, they know in their hearts what they need to do, but they need strength and encouragement from you. Lord, is there any, would any hear this say this morning to me, Pastor, pray for me this morning. I need a touch from God's hand. I want to be that faithful and wise servant. And I want to deal with some areas of my life that I know God has put his finger upon in my heart. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you just raise your hand if you'd like me to pray for you this morning? I see that hand. Does any others say, pray for me this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one that responded, God, and I pray, Lord, that you would work in their heart mightily, Lord. And Father, one day we stand before thee and give account of ourselves, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to prepare our hearts for our coming Savior, that we would live for him and be that faithful and wise servant. So Lord, bless the ones that have been faithful and strong for you and courageous and have stood their ground and spoke for truth and righteousness. Bless them. Help them to continue. Help them to be strong. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each of us, Lord, as we endeavor to live for you and to honor our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this time of prayer. Thank you for this time of commitment. Thank you for this time of inward searching. And Lord, thank you for our coming Savior who shall come again quickly for each of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.